Okay. Well, good afternoon, everybody. We're going to finish the book of Jude. I don't think we've ever finished an entire book on this pulpit before, so it's good to know. Let's turn to the book of Jude. It's right before Revelation, so the second to last book in our Bible. And so our passage for today is verses 17 to 25. And if you could follow along, I'm reading from the ESV. A lot of you guys have the NIV, so it shouldn't be too different. But if you could just follow along with me. Jude 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Word of the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for gathering us here. We thank you for our time of worship, our time to connect with you, our spirits to be in line with you. Lord, I now pray that you help us to understand this passage in our Bibles, to understand and to think about a very difficult topic, the topic of the last days, the end times, in a way that is biblical, that is sound, and in a way that will ultimately encourage us. Lord, we thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's this song. It's a pretty old song, and it goes, "It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine." You know this song? It's REM, right? Only one person knows this. Okay, well anyway, the end of the world has so many names. Judgment Day, Armageddon, the apocalypse, the end of days. Do you believe that it's coming? Because that's what the Bible actually teaches. You know, even Hollywood, they love to portray the end of the world, and they love to show us what it's going to look like. I think of movies like Armageddon, right? Envisions the end to be a great asteroid, right, coming down and wiping out all life on Earth. Or how about movies like 2012, or there was this movie called The Day After Tomorrow. And those movies see the end as a series of natural catastrophes, earthquakes and floods, another ice age, whatever. Right? And then there's movies like Terminator. Right? They see the machines rising up and killing off all the humans, right? And eventually a nuclear holocaust. Right? And the end times, right? The end times fascinates us. Right? Many people wonder, right, when is it coming? What's it going to look like? Many, many people spend a lot of time trying to figure that out. Even well-intentioned, Bible-minded Christians. Now, this is nothing new. Even as far back as Jesus' disciples. In Matthew 24, his disciples, right, they asked him, "How will we know that the end is near?" Right? If there's anyone that's going to know this kind of stuff, it's going to be Jesus, right? And so they asked him, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And then Jesus, he tells them to look out for wars and rumors of war, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. He says that in the last days, there will be earthquakes and famines, the beginning of birth pains. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give off light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. But these are the signs that we usually look out for. These are the catastrophes that Hollywood loves to dazzle us with and scare us with. But if you go back and you read Matthew 24, you'll notice something interesting. Jesus' first response to the disciples isn't to point to these signs. Right? The first thing he says is this: see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And then a little bit later, he goes, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. But Jesus, the authority on these things, right? He seems to make a big deal about false teachers in the last times, the end times. In fact, that's the first thing he says to his disciples. These false teachers, they're going to perform great signs and wonders. These false teachers are going to come and lead people astray from the truths of the gospel. They will come, he says. They're simply a sign of the times. Now, in the beginning of our passage today, Jude reminds the church of this same truth. Now, take a look at verses 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. Jude is saying false teachers and ungodliness, they are a sign that the end is near, that the latter days are here, that God's final judgment is coming soon. When you see false teachers and divisions in the church, a church devoid of the Spirit, running on empty, you will know that the end is near. These are signs, just as clear as those earthquakes and wars and the stars falling from the sky. Well, we see them, and we know just as clearly that we are in the last days. Jesus was right 2,000 years ago, and he is still right today. So what about us? How are we supposed to face this difficult truth that the end is near? Right? Think about it. Think about what Jesus told his disciples to look out for. Right? He said, watch out for wars and rumors of war. Right? I mean, look around. Watch the news. Right? Israel and Palestine, Ukraine, war is here. Right? He said to watch out for earthquakes and famines. I mean, that's here. Right? The natural disasters, they seem to be getting worse and worse, don't they? Earthquakes and tsunamis and global warming and all this kind of stuff. Jesus says to watch out for false teachers and division in the church. I mean, go and watch CBN. Go to your nearest Christian bookstore. I mean, look at the countless denominations out there. Never before has the church been so fragmented. As far as the Bible is concerned, as far as Jesus has said, and as far as I can tell, the end is indeed near. Now, growing up, I was afraid of the last days and Judgment Day and the end times. I didn't like thinking about it. I'd avoid reading the book of Revelation. It was too scary. But that thought, that idea that the end was near, it always haunted me. You know, I used to wonder, what's the point of living my life if the end is just going to come anyway? Maybe tomorrow, maybe next year. What's the difference? Right? It all felt so trivial. As an impressionable youth, one of my leaders, he told us that he never got married. He never bothered to because he was so convinced that Jesus was about to return. And I got really scared. I got confused. You know, if this is true, then what should be my proper response? Should I just forget about school and my job or whatever? And it's all going to end anyway, right? What's the point? Should I just stay in bed all day and play video games and just enjoy myself? Are we really to just eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die, as Ecclesiastes tells us? What should our proper response be to the last days? Well, Jude, he tells us in verse 20 and 21. Let's read it very closely. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. On reading these two verses, I see three things that stand out to me, three qualities that we ought to have in response to the last days. Now, the first one is faith. Right? He says, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Now, what does this mean? Usually, when we hear the word faith, we think of like an impulse or a feeling, right? A strong conviction, like a belief that God is going to do what you pray for. Or we hear about faith healers in the news. Or people, these people, they don't take medicine. And when they get sick, they don't see doctors. When they're hurt, all they do is pray. They pray and they trust that God will heal. And they say all you need to do is have faith that God will heal you. I mean, we see Word of Faith Christians on television. People who believe that anything you claim in Jesus' name, and you, if you have enough faith, you will get it. Or they say, oh, God wants me to have a Ferrari. Right? In Jesus' name, it will be mine. Name it and claim it, they say. And if it doesn't come true, well, then I guess I didn't have enough faith. Is this the kind of faith that Jude is talking about, that we are supposed to build up? No. He tells us to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. And by this he means the truth of the gospel that we've been given. The most holy faith are the traditions of the apostles, the teachings of Scripture, the words of Christ. The faith is something that we can learn and understand and grow in maturity. It's not just a subjective feeling or our wish. It's an objective truth. It is the content of our faith. Growing in faith is more than just having passion and an intense belief. It's also growing in knowledge and understanding and discipline. We need to be sure of what we believe, and it must align with Scripture. In the last days, as in Jude's day, there will be false teachers who try to lead astray God's people. They will say that sin is okay, when the Bible clearly says that it is not. They may teach that God is all about blessing us, that in fact, we're actually called to deny ourselves and carry our own cross. False teachers will contradict the faith. But we must build ourselves up in the faith. Faith is more than a feeling or an action. It is truth. Unless we know this truth, study it, and live it, we will not last in the last days. Now, the second thing we ought to have in the last days is love. Jude says to pray in the Spirit, and in verse 21 he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, what does this mean? Is Jude saying that we can somehow do something to keep God loving us? Is this some kind of works righteousness? Is Jude saying that as long as we study our Bibles and pray every day, God will keep on loving you? And then if you stop, does that mean that God is going to stop loving you? I don't think so. I don't think that's what Jude means. I think Jude is saying, stay in loving relationship with God. We should stay in love with God because we've come to know how much God loves us. Now, this may sound a bit basic, but did you know that God loves you? I mean, we often say it, but I don't think we really reflect on this truth enough. God loves us. And God's love is not merely human love multiplied to the highest degree. God's love is on a whole nother level. It is infinitely more thoughtful, compassionate, sacrificial, caring. If God loves us, Who can separate us from the love of God? Not even death nor life, angels or demons, the present or the future, height or depth, nothing. If we really understood this kind of love, we'd never let our hearts wander any other ways. Our eyes would never look any other direction. Stay in love with God, this passage tells us. And again, back to Matthew 24, Jesus says, because lawlessness will be increased in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. It is our love for God's love that will sustain us. It will motivate us. It will drive us towards obedience and faithfulness. Now, the last thing we ought to have when facing the last days is hope. Verse 21 says, we should wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Now, waiting is hard to do, yet hope is waiting with a certainty that something good is coming. Jesus is going to grant us eternal life and make all of this suffering worth it. Jesus doesn't promise us an easy life after we become Christians. He doesn't say that suffering and pain will be lessened after we decide to follow him. But Jesus does give us hope that there is more to this story. Jesus gives us hope that there is a purpose to our sufferings. We ought to look forward to the end with hope, because we know that then all his promises will be fulfilled for us. Then there will be no more pain or tears or sadness. Then we will be with him forever. The last day is not something to fear, but something we Christians should hope for. Hollywood gives us Judgment Day and Armageddon, a cataclysm that we ought to fear and escape. But this is not the picture that Scripture gives us. The end is something that we are to hope for and long for and wait for. Like a bride awaiting her groom, we cry, come, Lord Jesus, come. Hope is what sustains us in the midst of trials and tribulations, in the midst of false teachers corrupting the church. We hope for a day that we will know God truly. In the midst of a divided church, we hope for a day that we will all sing together in unison with all the saints. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In the midst of a battered and broken church, we hope for a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hope is a powerful thing, and we need it if the church, our church, is to survive the last days. Faith, hope, and love. These are the three things I see Jude teaching us that we need to cling on in the last days. In the time between Jesus' ascension and his return, what the church desperately needs to survive is faith, hope, and love. We need to have faith in the Spirit of truth. We need to remain in love with God. And we need to keep hoping for Jesus' return. Faith, hope, and love in the Father, Son, and Spirit. This is how we ought to live. Now, these are Jude's instructions for us Christians. But what about them? What about those people who have been swayed by the false teachers? What about non-believers who don't share our faith? What are we supposed to do? Well, thankfully, Jude teaches us that too. In verses 22 and 23. Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Again, Jude seems to be addressing two different groups of people, right? There's the doubters in verse 22, and then there are those who are headed for the fire in verse 23. The first group of people are the doubters. Right? These are the people who may have once been a part of the church, been a part of the faith, but perhaps through the false teachings or pressures of persecution or through their own fault, whatever, they started doubting the truth of the gospel. Jude teaches us, he commands us, have mercy on these people. Bring them back. Teach them the error of their ways. Accept their repentance. Receive them back into fellowship again. Have mercy on them, just as God had mercy on us. Now, this first group of people, the doubters, the backsliders, they're easy for us to picture. People who have once known the truth, once believed the gospel, but now, for whatever reason, they're no longer walking with God. Now, for those of us who are a little older and have grown up in the church, think back on your old youth group. How many of those people now fall into this category? Those people, once they were so on fire for Jesus. Once they may have even served on leadership. Once they attended Bible camps and led worship, right? Now, where are they? Jude tells us to have mercy on them. Try to understand them. What do they go through? Why don't they feel like they need God anymore? Have mercy on them. Show compassion and understanding. Demonstrate Christian caring and love, and bring them back. The second group of people are those who are headed for the fire. And Jude's command for us is what? Save them. Bring them in. The fact is that there are many, many people who have not yet heard the full gospel. Really, truly heard it. The gospel is good news, but there is no good news without bad news. And the bad news is that many are headed for the fires of hell, an eternity without God. Now, some Christians, they will try to cut the bad news out of the gospel. They will say that, oh, God is so loving and so powerful, he couldn't possibly stand a place like hell to exist. A place of eternal suffering and torment, it just doesn't work, right? That's so unlike God. Right? These people, they'll try to rationalize and justify, oh, maybe God will just save everyone in the end anyway. Maybe those who don't accept Jesus in this life, they'll just poof, they'll disappear, and they won't have to suffer. Right? That's a logical conclusion, right? Maybe there is a hell, as Scripture teaches. Maybe it's just going to be empty, right? Everyone's just going to end up in heaven. This is not what Scripture teaches. Hell exists, whether we like it or not. And there are billions of people there, and billions more are headed there. That's why we've been given a commission to share the full gospel. Because if we lessen the bad news, then we also cheapen the good news. No, we must be faithful to the teachings of Scripture. We must share the gospel so that others can be saved. That is the merciful thing to do. Well, guys, we did it. We just finished the entire book of Jude. Jude is a letter about Judgment Day, a letter about false teachers, a letter about troubling times that we live in and how we ought to face them. If everything Jude says is true, that he and his listeners were in the last days, and he thought that Jesus was about to return, what's going on here? Was he wrong? Why are we still waiting 2,000 years later? These are not new questions. In 2 Peter 3, he goes in a little more detail and he answers these questions. He says that we need to remember that 1,000 years is like a single day to the Lord. So clearly, eternal God's time frame is not the same as ours. He also says that God is delaying judgment day because he is being patient. He wants as many people as possible to come to repentance. Now we're going to head back to Matthew 24 again. In verse 14, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, right? Jesus says that before the end, the gospel must first go out to all the world as a testimony to all the nations. Our job, just as Jude says, is to spread the gospel as far as we can, as often as we can, as well as we can, so that some may receive the mercy of God, so that some may be rescued from the fire. That is our job. That is our calling in these troubling times. And the only way to do that is with faith, hope, and love. We need to abide these three. We need to live by them, be protected by them, be encouraged by them. We must await our Lord's return with faith, hope, and love until the last day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this truth, that the last day is not something we have to fear. It is something that we ought to hope for, that we are in your love and nothing can separate us from your love, that we've been given the faith, the true faith in your scriptures that we ought to live by and abide by. Lord, faith, hope, and love. We need these three desperately in these evil times, these last days. We need to abide these three in our church if we're to survive, if we're to grow and rebuild. Lord, we need these three in our own personal lives, faith, hope, and love, to stay faithful to you in our everyday lives. We thank you, Lord, for this teaching. Thank you for the hope of your return and the hope of eternal life with you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.